Let's turn to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians 5. We'll read, I'll pray about these things. I'm going to begin reading verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit. I need to walk by the Spirit. I need to be led by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. So I've got this flesh-spirit war going on. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. These are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, they're obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And now Paul, having given us such a strong list, behaviors that are just obnoxious and cannot be part of the body of Christ, he turns to give us what is in fact evidences of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we, the body of Christ, believers, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, guide our time in your word this morning. This is so different for us, Lord. It's strange not being together. It's abnormal, as it should be. We, the body of Christ, desire to be together, God. And we pray, Lord, that you would, with your power, crush the disease, give all those that are working diligently to come up with solutions, give them wisdom, give every leader at the federal, state, and local level incredible wisdom to know what's best. Give them insight. Be with the first responders, those that are in the hospitals, clinics, our doctors, nurses, PAs, nurse practitioners. Guide them, direct them. We think about these hospitals that are being set up both on land and sea. We pray for Italy. We pray, God, that Italy would consider Christ, that Italy would have a greater openness to the reality of Jesus more now than ever before. We pray, oh God, that the emptiness that's found in the Catholic Church would be replaced with salvation in Christ Jesus. Pray, Lord, for our leaders on Fort Bragg, all our military installations that have to make tough decisions. Guide and direct them. We pray, God, for our academy, the decisions that need to be made, the preparations even for next year, the staffing. God, we need you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're looking at this word peace right here, and we want to understand it. It's a state of tranquility. It's being free from turmoil. It's a freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. It's the absence of anxiety. It's harmony in personal relationships. It's all that. And that's a lot. I mean, to be absent of anxiety in today's conditions, to be free from turmoil in the world that we're presently living in amongst the COVID-19 crisis. Peace in the Old Testament, according to Baker Encyclopedia, is the total well-being, its prosperity, its security associated with God's presence among God's people. And the Old Testament is replete with all these examples of peace. So the Old Testament word for peace is shalom, and you're familiar with that. It's all over the Psalms. It's all over the New Testament, Old Testament. So last week we looked at present and future joy. Let me remind you, we said that present joy is this joy will be interrupted and mitigated by life in a fallen world, often mingled with sorrow. We said that future joy is this joy will be uninterrupted and boundless in its application and experience for the believer. So we presently desire to experience joy, and we long for a future joy. Now, the same can be said about peace. Present peace right now in this turmoil is found in knowing God and what He said and has done, and is primarily internal and relational. And I'll talk about that in a minute. Whereas future peace, this peace culminates in an internal kingdom completely uninterrupted by strife, war, pestilence, plague, and Satan. And that's where you at home say amen. You should be incredibly motivated, excited for this eternal kingdom. Now, the Israelites longed for present peace. They longed for it. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem is one of our Psalms. The Israelites longed for this present peace in their land, and their Bible promised them both present and future peace. Turn to Isaiah 6:26. I have it on the screen, but I like to see it on the page of my Bible, and I know you do as well. This is a verse that has comforted me all week and has tried to comfort me and has challenged and encouraged me and spoke to me. And I pray that the next 7 days it can do the same for you. It's verse number 3 of chapter 26 of Isaiah. So it's Isaiah 26, verse 3. And maybe you could read it with me at home. You keep in perfect peace. So this is God. God keeps in perfect peace who? Those whose mind is stayed on you. Now let's grab this again. You keep in perfect peace, complete peace, the absence of tranquility, the absence of anxiety. You keep in perfect peace those males and females whose mind is stayed on you. Why? Because he or she trusts in you. I'm going to read the verse one more time. You keep him or her in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. This present peace is found in him. God keeps him or her complete in peace, completely in peace. That is the absence of anxiety. Why or how or through what mechanism? By keeping, by remaining, by focusing on God. I got to trust in him. I got to keep my mind on him. My mind needs to remain or stuck on trusting in God. This is hard. This is really hard for us in this world. We're bombarded by CNN and all the just an incredible, over-obnoxious plethora of what's happening. And we're often guilty of forgetting about God in this crisis. I, Sean Harris, put your name there, must trust in God's love, goodness, mercy, justice, power, knowledge, promises, and really ultimately and fully and completely in his sovereignty. In his sovereignty. Cancer. And that was the big one before COVID-19. All the time I was thinking to myself, when will I get cancer? I hear about this person, that person getting cancer. When's it going to happen to Sean? Heart disease, famine, war, pestilence, global pandemics are all opportunities for us, the body of Christ, to demonstrate that we're different. I'm going to go ahead and turn to Revelation 2 just so we can get there, because we're going to look at three verses in Revelation 2, and they're all going to reflect God's sovereignty, God's sovereignty. And I want to encourage you, those that are at home, to actually turn in your Bibles and just do everything just like you would as if you were in church. You wouldn't answer the phone in the middle of a worship service, so don't do it at home. Do everything you can to make this as close to being in the body of Christ as you can. This is Jesus. This is Jesus talking to the church at Smyrna. Now, let's just think about this. Think about the reality that in the 2,000 years of church history, this is not the first plague. This is not the first pestilence. This is not the first crisis. It may be the first one where we could broadcast at home like we are, but it's not the first one that the church has endured. Listen to the words of Jesus, who told the church, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer." And just grab that idea. Jesus Christ is telling the church at Smyrna they're getting ready to suffer. Imagine you being told you're going to have cancer. You're going to have a heart attack. You're going to get COVID-19. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. Just change it up. Just substitute this into the current crisis. That you may be tested. Think about this body of Christ. Are we currently going through a test? Are we, the church at Smyrna, enduring this pestilence for such a time as this? Notice the Lord gives 10 days. This is huge. I need to get a hold of this idea. Not 11, not 12, not 6 months, not an undetermined time, not I have no idea because I'm not God, Satan's all powerful. No, that's not what it says. Jesus tells them this is getting ready to happen. The devil is going to do this. And God is going to use this to test us for a period of time. We don't know what the days are. And we're going to have tribulation. And then he says, be faithful. Be faithful unto what? Death. Unto death? Yes, there is a possibility that I could die. Yes, be faithful unto death. And then we get this incredible promise from God. I will give you the crown of life. What an amazing verse. Now, turn over to chapter 6, verse 4. It's been well over a year since we went through these seven seals. And we presented some ideas then that were not popular, and they seemed as though that they were ridiculous. We talked about the fact that these seals may not be, in fact, only the final period of tribulation on the earth. That they're more reflective of life in a fallen world. These four horsemen and these seven seals. Verse number 3, and he opened the second seal. Who's opening? It's Jesus opening, demonstrating his sovereignty over everything that happens on this earth. That this is, there isn't anything outside of the bounds of God's sovereignty. This is why I can trust him. That's why my mind can be stayed on him, because he is sovereign. He opened the second seal. I heard the second living creature say, come, and out came another horse, bright red. Its rider, and you got to notice this language, it's critical that you see it, was permitted. It was permitted to take peace from the earth. And that's happening right now. Peace is being taken from the earth right now. People are panicking everywhere. There is a giant concern for the lack of vaccines and the lack of ventilators and the lack of this, that, and another thing. Believers, we can't let Satan take our peace from us. He says that the rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that people should slay one another, referring in this case to war. He was given a great sword. But if you look at verse number 8, right next to this now, just move down a little bit, we get introduced to the pale horse. Verse 7 says, he opened up the fourth seal, and I heard the voice of the living creature say, come. I looked and behold, a pale horse, not a red horse, it's a pale horse. And its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given great authority over a fourth of the earth to kill the sword and with famine and with, notice this word, pestilence, and by wild beasts of the earth. Here our Bible is telling us that God at certain times in human history is going to give the pale horse, obviously not a real horse, the pale horse authority to kill. That's the reality, that he'll be able to kill by sword and famine and pestilence and wild beasts. Why, God, would you do this? Because the impending death is supposed to drive us to Jesus. It's supposed to cause us to contemplate the reality that someday we too are going to die. This word pestilence, I looked it up in the dictionary. It is a contagious or infectious epidemic disease that is virulent and devastating. Folks, that's today. That is COVID-19. That's us. That's the world we're living in right now. And we can't let this rob us of our peace. But what does Revelation 1:18 say? Turn back. Revelation 1:18. Revelation 1:18. Oh, that's not the right verse. Let me see. Get it on the next screen. Darren was here. He would be laughing at me right now. All right, where does it say? What verse number says? Is it 8? It's Jesus saying, 8? 18, okay. I died. This is Jesus. Jesus saying, I died. Oh, I was looking at 2. That's where I was making the mistake. I kept on focusing on 2. It is 18. 1:18. Verse 17 says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, this is what God says, this is what Christ says, this is what our Lord who gives peace says. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And what does he have? You're reading at home right now. What does he have? Yell back at me. I have the keys of death and Hades. God has the ownership of death. Does he permit Satan for certain periods of time to do things? Yes, he does. Read the book of Job and you'll see that. But ultimately, God retains the sovereignty over all these things. That's why I can trust in him. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You keep in perfect peace those whose mind, those people, those believers whose mind is stayed on you. Because he or she, dad or mom, all you mamas out there, we must trust in God. We must trust in God. Ultimately, we must trust in God. Then our Old Testament talks about a future peace. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our Lord Jesus Christ, ruling over the earth in the eternal kingdom where there's an everlasting peace. And then there's a relational peace that's described in Isaiah 53:5, the great chapter about our Lord Jesus Christ dying on a cross for our salvation. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. I need to experience some of that peace. I need to get some of that peace. So we'll talk about how to get that. So the future peace in the Old Testament develops in the New Testament in multiple ways. I give you at least four. Peace from the entire Godhead. I want to show you peace from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I want to show you an internal peace. I want to show you both a relational peace that is horizontal and vertical. And then finally, this future eternal peace. All four of them at least. So I have this diagram on the screen for you to take a look at. The circle in the middle refers to my internal peace. The vertical line going up refers to my peace with God. And then the horizontal arrows pointing in each direction refer to peace with other human beings on this earth. So in the New Testament, we have a God of peace. Christ is our peace. We have the fruit of the Spirit being peace, the gospel of peace, and the kingdom of God is a matter of peace. So obviously, peace is a big deal in the New Testament. Five different times, we read God of peace. Romans 15, 33. May the God of peace be with you. Romans 16, 29. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Philippians 4, 9. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Hebrews 13, 20. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. Five different times God is referred to as the God of peace. So I need to realize if I want peace to rule in my life, God must rule in my life. And we're talking right now, moment by moment, day by day for life. I've got to recognize there's no peace without the God of peace. None. The world will not find you any peace. You've got to go to God for it. God must rule in your life for the God of peace to be part of your life. Listen to Ephesians 2, 13 and 14. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself, that is Jesus himself is our peace. He's our peace. Who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. So once again, if I want the peace of Christ to rule in my heart, the Lord Jesus Christ must rule in my life. So I need to recognize when I am letting myself rule and when I'm letting Christ rule. And when I'm not in peace, when I'm anxious, when I'm all over the map, in my heart, is Christ ruling? The answer is no. And then finally, number three, or third in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. So I would say that being at peace with God, I would say living at peace with others, I would say praying for peace on this earth are all manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. All manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. Acts 10:36 says, and for the word that was sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Christ Jesus, he, notice this now, is Lord of all. He's Lord of all. This is why I can trust in him. This is why my mind can be stayed on him. This is why those who trust in him can find peace in him. Ephesians 6:15 says, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. So our gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, brings peace. And then finally, number five, number one being the Father, number two being the Son, number three being the Spirit, number four being the gospel, number five, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, that's God ruling in my life right now, God ruling in my life, the kingdom of God ruling in my heart and mind is not a matter of eating and drinking. Instead, it's a matter of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now just Think about that right now. Is there ever a time when we need to be doing the right thing every day, all week, now? And can we find peace? Yes. And will we experience moments of joy and peace? And the answer is yes. Now let's look at internal. So we'll look at first internal, then we'll look at vertical, and then we'll look at horizontal, and we'll be done. So internal peace. This is me inside of my heart. This is everyone listening. We're a mess right now. We're up and down. We're a mess of emotions. All the mamas out there are going, I know I'm not supposed to be anxious right now. I know I'm supposed to be trusting in Christ. Mamas say yes. That's us right now. And yet, I know I need to have peace in my heart. I need to have an internal peace. So Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now grab that idea right there. I can find peace, but I've got to let God guard my heart. I've got to let God guard my mind. So when my mind races out of control with the inevitably of all these things that might happen, I need to bring it, my mind, under subjection to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I literally maybe need to give myself a self-talk and tell myself, no, my Bible tells me God's in control. Nothing comes into my life but God doesn't ordain or permit. I can trust in Him. Say it at home right now. I can trust in Him. John 14:27. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. He's getting ready to leave. Jesus is getting ready to leave the earth. And He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So I've got my heart's being troubled. I'm starting to get troubled. It's getting anxious. My heart rate's going up. I'm getting nervous. I'm getting anxious. What do I need to do? I need to quiet myself in Christ Jesus. I can do that through the Word of God. I can do that through song. I can do that through prayer and meditation. I can do that through talking to another believer. I can do that through husbands and wives encouraging each other. But I've got to get my mind under control. This is the internal peace I need to seek and find in Jesus. Listen to John 16:33. Jesus said, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Church, this is our entire faith right here. This is the gospel message right here. Christ overcame death in the resurrection, making it possible for all of us to overcome death in an eternal life. Because of this, I don't have to fret like others. I don't have to fear death like the rest of the world. We are different. Colossians 3:15. Paul writes, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. I need to ask myself, am I letting the peace of Christ rule in my heart right now? I need to say, who's ruling in this heart of mine right now? Who's ruling in here? Who's in charge? Am I going to let Christ be in charge? Or am my anxieties going to take over? And now vertical. So first was internal, now vertical. This is peace with God. This is peace with my Creator. This is knowing I'm fine in right now. I have no fear of death because I'm fine with God. This is up and down, a vertical. This is Romans 5:1. It's super important. It's foundational to what we believe to be true. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since, notice the we, plural pronoun, since we have been justified by faith, since we have been declared righteous by faith. We have peace with God. We have peace with our Creator. He's not warring with us. There's not a hostility between God and man because we've been declared righteous. We've been declared just. The implications of Romans 5:1 are clear. Only those who have been justified, that is declared righteous. How? By faith. What is faith? It's trusting, depending, relying on. It's getting on the ladder of faith. Since we have been declared righteous by getting on the ladder, what's the ladder? It's the faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. We can have peace with God. What's the rest? The rest, the wrath of God abides on them. This is what separates us from the rest of the world. Sitting at home right now, if you are born again, if you've been declared righteous by Christ Jesus, then you know you're at peace with God. What does Romans 8:1 say? I sure hope I'm not wrong when you turn to those scriptures like that and then you begin panicking because you might be wrong. There is therefore no, let me back it up, the word now is there. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None. There's no condemnation. Because there's no condemnation, I can be at what? Say it with me. Peace. I can be at peace with my God because he has promised me that there's now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Consider with me Ephesians 2:15-16. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, referring to not only the Ten Commandments, but the entire Torah, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making what? Peace. And he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, killing what? Killing what? Killing the hostility. There's a hostility between sinners and a holy and righteous God. And God is the peacemaker. He's the most amazing peacemaker. Through Christ Jesus, he destroys the hostility so that we can be reconciled. And because I've been reconciled, my heart is now at peace with my Maker. This is what Colossians 1:20 says. And through him, referring to Christ, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And now finally, and we're almost done, horizontal. The first, I have an internal peace that characterizes me. I don't mean 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't mean that I'm always joyous. I don't mean that I'm always peaceful. I don't mean that my heart is not a basket case of emotions at any given time. But I am well aware when it's not, and I'm coaching myself to get it right through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then I have peace with God, which is expressed through faith in the gospel, and then horizontal. Our Lord said, and I need to grab this, I need to get a hold of this, Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The peacemakers. The best book ever written on this subject is written by The Peacemaker by Ken Sand, S-A-N-D-E. If you've not read this book, I would encourage you to read it. It's an audio book as well as a paperback book. It's only $8 on Amazon. And if we get quarantined, you're going to have lots of time to listen to books and read. So again, The Peacemaker. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, on your part, live at peace with everyone. Now grab that right there. Just think about that. I need to be at peace with my neighbors. I just need to be at peace with them. I need to be as much as possible making every effort to live at peace with other humans. That's my goal. That's what sets us apart at work, in our neighborhoods, in school. Romans 14, 19. So then let us pursue. Grab that word right there. Pursue. Go after. Like a lion pursuing its prey. Let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. I need to think about that. Is this making for peace? Is this an encouraging post on Facebook? Does this unify? Does this encourage? Does this bring edification to the body of Christ on Facebook? If the answer is yes, then I need to keep posting. If the answer is no, then I need to take it down because I need to pursue what makes for peace. 1 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Experience joy again. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. Live in peace. And then look at this promise. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Hebrews 12:14. Strive for peace. I'm pursuing peace. I'm striving for peace with everyone. For the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And when it comes to peace with others, there are two courses of action. I experience them all the time. We'll go through them. Sometimes we just need to let it go. We just got to let it go. You offended me. We're not at peace together. You bothered me. Okay, but I can let it go. I don't even have to bring it up. I can just let it go. But sometimes that doesn't work. So course of action number two is, man, we got to sit down and talk. And this is where we need to be honest, transparent, confessional, and forgiving. And believers should always be able to do this. Just real upfront, face to face. I didn't appreciate that. You hurt my feelings. I didn't like what you said. And then we need to be transparent and confessional. I was wrong. Please forgive me. And then when they say, please forgive me, we forgive. That's what we do. So I want to say to everyone this morning, if you can't let a TTO go, remember these are typical tiny offenses. If you can't let a TTO go, you will never have peace with others. We're going to live in a fallen world until God calls us home. That world is going to be characterized by people ripping toilet paper out of our hands at the grocery store. That's what's going to happen in crises, where people are going to be rude. That's what happens in a fallen world full of sinners. We have to be the people that can just let it go. So finally, 2 Timothy 2:22. Paul says to young Timothy, flee youthful passions and pursue, and he tells them four things. Now look at these four things. 1, righteousness. 2, faith. 3, love. 4, peace. Four things. Righteousness, faith, love, and peace. How am I going to get to this area right here? How am I going to get here? How am I going to get to where I have an internal peace, a peace with God, and a horizontal peace with others? I have to pursue it. It's not going to happen by chance. It's a pursuit. I need to make sure that I'm guarding my heart. I need to make sure that I'm making my election and calling sure by living out my faith. I need to make sure that I'm checking my relationship with others, my neighbor on my left and my right. Have I offended them? Have I done something wrong? Are we good? Those are the conditions that we need to be pursuing. Father God in heaven, we're all over the place in the city of Fayetteville and even some outside of Fayetteville in the state of North Carolina. Bereans that are even in other states. I think about Paul Cole and working away from home, and there are just so many, God, I shouldn't even name one name right now. Then there are those that are in countries outside of the United States that join us through the webcast and through the sermons that are uploaded. God, we pray that you would bless them. Give them your peace. Father, protect them. Comfort their hearts. Those that are ill, bring their bodies back to a state of health and normalcy. Thank you, God, for giving us this technology that we can still be semi-connected through the internet. In Jesus' name, amen.